thing that started some years ago, helping us to reconnect with the church. And I was thinking, today I want to kind of go at this with two ways. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open them to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to be looking at verses 41 through 47 today, but I want to tackle this day with a couple things. Number one, I want to ask the question, why do we go to church? You know, I've been going to church. I was born and raised in the church, and so I've been going to church for 54 years, 53, I want to say 53 and a half, I'm really technical about it, but all that time, I have been told, I have to go to church, have to go to church, have to go to church. And when I was around 16, 17 years old, I started questioning why I was going to church, because I figured by 16, 17, I'd probably heard every sermon that needed to be said of every scripture that was in the Bible. That was in my thinking. My problem was we lived four houses down from the church, so it was really hard to get away from it, because we would walk to church every Sunday, no matter if there was snow on the ground or whatever, we would walk to church. And so I found myself or questioning my parents as to why I still needed to go to church. And they really taught me the importance of church. And it wasn't just going to hear the message, it was to be in fellowship with the other believers. And I have to say, the people that were my Sunday school teachers, the people that were my youth group leaders, the people that encouraged me to stand in front of the church and play my violin or play my saxophone or play the guitar, they were the ones that inspired me to try something, to do something that I probably wouldn't have done on my own. But why do we go to church? I mean, we go to school to get an education so that we can make a living, right? We go to work so that we can make money, so we can pay the bills. We go to the gym. Some of us go to the gym to exercise so that we will stay healthy. We go to the mall to shop for clothes. We go to the grocery store to get groceries. We go fishing. Some of us go golfing because we think it's fun. But why do we go to church? And if you found yourself kind of wondering why, you're not alone. Recent surveys say that 79% of Americans identify themselves as Christian, but only 20% of Americans attend church regularly. And the idea of attending church regularly has changed over the years. I was reading this week that the idea of being a regular attender has shifted. It used to be if you were a regular attender, that meant what? That you were there every Sunday, right? Now, to be a regular attender, they say, is when you at least go once a month, you're considered a regular attender. That's changed. But what has happened? Maybe some of us think that church is kind of boring or the preacher talks too long and I've heard the sermons before. But most of us understand that church and what it's really about is it's about being spiritually fulfilled. It's about growing closer to God. It's about fellowshipping with one another. In the book of Acts, we read about how the church got its start. 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he sent the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, the disciples. They began going out and preaching and spreading the word about Jesus' life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And because of that, millions of people began to learn about Christ. So, let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Can you imagine that? 3,000 people. We couldn't fit 3,000 people in here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. A couple weeks ago, Ed and I were traveling to Tacoma to help a friend of his. And as we were driving, we were talking about the church. And I mentioned the fact that, you know, it would really be cool if the church today took their lead from Acts 2, verses 41 through 47. That somehow our church was designed just like this church. And that the people in the church got so excited about doing ministry that they just daily were involved in it. Now, certainly, we're not going to sell everything we have and live in a commune. That's not what I'm asking. But if we had that same attitude, can you imagine how we could change our little community, our little place in the world? If we could look at this paragraph and really realize the real reason why we attend church, things might be different. And as I was reading this scripture this week, I came up with five things that I think will help us understand how we should be in church today. But not just today, but every day, every week, and every opportunity that we have. So, are you with me? Here we go. Number one, the first thing that the church brings into our lives is membership. In other words, the church is a place to belong. The theme for this year, I think last year was a place to belong. This year, the theme is you belong here. Whether you are a regular attender or you are a guest or a visitor, you belong here. This is the place that God has brought you. Jesus gives us these opportunities to be in community. And I think if there's one thing that people desire more than anything else is to belong to something. To have a connection with something. That's why the recent statistics show that more and more people are joining health clubs, they're joining social clubs, they are getting involved in athletics more and more because they want to belong to something. All of us need a place to belong. All of us need a place where we can be a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. All of us need to experience family, fellowship. Vance Packard said, America is a nation of strangers, and studies show that 4 out of 10 people experience feelings of intense loneliness. The fact of the matter is, we tend to identify more closely with characters that we see on TV than we do our own neighbors. And everywhere we look, there are signs that people are hungering for fellowship, community, and a sense of family. There are many analogies for a Christian disconnected from the church in the Bible, but also in life. A football player without a team, soldier without a platoon, a tuba player without an orchestra, a sheep without a flock. But the most understandable and biblical picture is that of a child without a family. The family is the church. And God does not want His children growing up in isolation from each other. We were created for community. We were created to be a part of a family. A Christian without a church family is like an orphan. I was thinking this week, and as we are approaching fall, maybe some of you will start seeing geese as they're heading south, right? Well, what do? They fly in a V formation, right? And there's always one geese at the head, and they're flapping away, and as they get kind of tired, they kind of fall back, and another one will come in. And the scientists will tell us that if all of them are flapping at the same time, it creates an uplift. And what it does is it allows the geese to fly 71% farther than if they were just flying by themselves. Christians, we all share a common direction. We all share a common desire. And when we get into a sense of community, we are doing it together. And as we do it together, we get more done. We accomplish more things. We can encourage and support one another. Going back to the geese, if one of the geese gets sick or wounded, it falls out of formation, and two of the geese will go back and protect it until it either dies or it gets healthy again. And then they fly back and get back into the group and continue their journey. Jesus gave us a church so that we can support and encourage one another, to stand by each other, to work side by side, and when times get rough, to help carry the burden. That's why we have church. That's why we are here today. Number two, the church gives us an opportunity to magnify the God who made us. Verse 46 says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God. I hope today as we share our picnic time and we share the food that there are smiles there. I hope people are excited and happy. Church gives us an opportunity to worship God and the Father and His Son Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you of something. Worship itself is far more than coming into a brick building for an hour, hour and a half on a Sunday. It goes beyond that. Worship has to be a way of life. But the truth is that most of us do not worship God on our own. Life is busy. Life is hectic. We're easily distracted. All of life should be worship, but it usually is not. Church itself gives us 1 hour a week to focus worship and attention on Jesus Christ. It directs us, it points us to a place where we can take a deep breath and just relax. I love how King David describes worship in Psalms 34:3. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Do you guys know what magnifying means? You know, some years ago for Christmas, Nicholas's grandparents gave him a telescope. And there was a couple years ago after we first moved here, I think there was like a blood moon or whatever they called it, and we went up to the column. There was a whole bunch of people up there, and we set up this telescope, and we looked out there, and it was almost like you could just reach out and touch the moon and the stars. And that is what happens when you magnify the God who made you. It lets you draw closer to Him. That's what happens when we come together in the church. It allows you to immerse yourself in worship, no matter what the style of worship may be, to feel God's presence in your life, to be able to reach out and touch Him. Number three, the church helps lead us to spiritual maturity. Verse 42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. In other words, they were committed to learning more about Jesus, who was the focus of the apostles' teaching. And in that learning, they were growing closer and closer and learning how to be more like Christ. I want to tell you something about preachers. We don't study the Bible just so we can stand up here and look smart and sound smart on Sunday morning. We read the Bible and study it because we want the Holy Spirit to change us so that we can be more like Christ. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. God wants to develop the kind of character that is described in the Beatitudes of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the fruit of the spirits, and even going into Paul's great love chapter. The Holy Spirit uses a variety of methods to lead us into Christ's likeness, often using the circumstances of life, trials, tragedies, to shape our character. The Holy Spirit uses worship, which leads us to the question, what do you worship? Because the reality is, what you worship is what you will become. The Holy Spirit uses people that are also growing or people that are spiritually mature to help us grow. The Holy Spirit uses prayer. The more time we spend talking with God, the more we start sounding like God. The Holy Spirit uses His Word, the Bible, the sword of the Spirit. So when you come to church, into the fellowship of other spiritually growing people, you hear the Word of God, and you learn to be more like Christ, challenging you, as it challenges me, to follow in His footsteps. And hopefully, in the process, it is inspiring you and equipping you to be able to handle all the things that are happening in life. The church helps us to grow spiritually and to become more mature in our faith. Number four, the church prepares us for ministry. Verses 43 through 45 says, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. So while the apostles were out healing the sick and the blind and the crippled, the people of the church were doing everything that they could on a daily basis to help the poor, to help the widows, to help the needy, to help each other. This points us to another great reason the church exists and why you should be a part of it. And that is, it leads you to ministry. Now, I want to say something this morning that some of you may kind of wonder what I'm talking about, but this is it. If you don't get anything more out of this, this is what I want you to understand. You were put here on earth to make a contribution. You were not created just to consume resources, to eat, drink, and take up space. God designed you to make a difference in this world. The Bible says God has made us what we are. And in Christ Jesus, God made us to do good work, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. What are these good works? That's your ministry. God has a ministry for you. And the best place to discover your ministry, to start fulfilling that ministry, is right here in the church. Now, unlike the apostles, we cannot go out and heal the sick. We do not have the resources to sell everything we have and give to the poor. But we do have special gifts. We do have special abilities, experiences, interests that God has given us for ministry. If you love to cook, you can make meals for shut-ins. If you have a heart for kids, there's a place for ministry. Especially if you're wanting to work with young kids, we're going to be starting a community youth ministry and we could use the help. Who better to help those that are trying to recover from addiction than someone who has fought those demons and has found the freedom in Christ? What if you have gone through the tragedy of divorce? You have an opportunity to help others who may be going through the same heartbreak. Maybe you've lost a spouse. And now you have an opportunity to comfort those who are dealing with the same emotions and the same grief. The possibilities are limitless. Unfortunately, so are our excuses. If you have been saved and you are not involved in any kind of ministry, What is your excuse? There are many people in the Bible who could easily come up with excuses why they didn't fulfill their ministry. Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Gideon was poor. David had an affair and all kinds of family problems. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Naomi was a widow. The Samaritan woman had 5 failed marriages. Thomas had doubts. Timothy was timid. And yet, God used each one of them in ministry. And God can use you as well. But you have to let Him. You have to allow Him in. And you have to take advantage of the opportunities that God has given you to be a part of a community of faith. And finally, being part of the church helps us to understand and carry out your life's mission. Verse 47, it says, "And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." Now, can you imagine in this little community, can you imagine that if we started to act out the same, had the same enthusiasm, the same drive, the same desire that this early church did, can you imagine coming to church on Sunday morning and seeing the church grow, more people coming in, people being baptized, people being affected by the Spirit of God? It can happen. It can happen. Because the church's mission is the same as Christ's mission, to seek and save the lost. And when you get saved, Jesus adds you to His church, and therefore His mission becomes your mission. In church, we all have the same mission, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to share His saving grace with a bent and broken world. Now, you might be fulfilling your mission by sharing your testimony, sharing your story. We all have one, of how you came to know Christ and how He changed your world. Maybe you can carry out your mission by telling people the good news, explaining the sacrificial death of Christ and His resurrection and what that means to the world. Or maybe you can accomplish your mission by simply inviting people to church, but not just inviting them to church, but bringing them to church, sitting with them, and allowing them to experience God, answering their questions if they may have them, but letting them hear the good news. The church in Jerusalem grew from 120 people to 3,000 people in one day. That's in verse 2. In verse 4, the number rose to 5,000 people. And by verse 6, there were too many people to count. And you say, well, that can't happen here. Yes, it can. It happened because they knew they had a mission. And they knew they had the ability. They knew they had everything that they needed to make it happen. In closing, I want to ask each and every one of you a question as I ask myself this question. This is a tough question because you really have to think about it. And that is anyone going to be in heaven because of you? Will anyone in heaven be able to say to you, I want to thank you because I'm here because you cared enough to share the good news of Jesus Christ with me? Is anyone in heaven there because of you? Imagine the joy of greeting people of heaven in heaven whom you helped get there. Let that sink in, folks. The internal salvation of a single soul is more important than anything else you will ever achieve in your life. And I hope that I've given you enough reasons to get up and go to church next Sunday. The truth of the matter is, the church is not something you attend. It's something that you are. And when you understand what it means to not just go to the church, but be the church, that's when you discover your life's true purpose. Because we were created by God to be in fellowship, to be a part of His family. You were created by God to magnify His glory. You were created to grow and mature into His image. You were created to be ministers for His mercy. You were created to be in mission for God. Today, we celebrate Back to Church Sunday. And maybe we should celebrate this every week. Maybe we should just really emphasize the importance of being together. And I hope that you don't leave here today thinking, well, that was a good sermon, now let's eat. But that you think about what I said, and you start thinking about how you live your life outside of this building. Because I know that something sometimes happens between the altar and the door. Something happens. And I can be all up for God right here in this sanctuary, but as soon as I leave that door, something is going to happen, right? And that's when we step out into the world and we start getting discouraged again. But I want to encourage you today, when you leave here, that you put a smile on your face and you recognize that by being here today, you've been filled up. And that you're ready to go out there and you're ready to make a difference in this world and this little community that God has given us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray for each one of us here today that we can live our lives in such a way that people will see the difference in us. And not only see the difference in us, but they will want to be and experience what we have. And I pray that that will open the doors for us to share our story or to share the good news or to invite people to church. That's my hope and my prayer. And I just ask that you be with each one here today and be with those who couldn't be here today that are traveling, that are out of town, that are not able to be here today. Just want to be with them as well. And just, Lord, help us to grow as a family. Help us to experience your presence on a daily basis. Help us to make a difference. Help us to be like Jesus and like the early church as well. And I pray this in your name. Amen.